friends to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and it is Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And I want you to know, if He isn't your Savior, He can be. If He isn't, He wants to be. If He isn't, He came to be. Remember, Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Well, what a privilege it is for me and Debbie to be a part of your day, for you to invite us in and to do it so lovingly, to do it so prayerfully. We appreciate you. I often say while I'm making this program, it wouldn't do me any good to be here speaking if you were not there listening. Are you praying for me? Oh, I need you to. I want you to. I believe you are. I believe you are, and I'm praying for you. I've got my Bible open to the book of John's Gospel, chapter 5, the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and it goes on, and I'm going to be looking at one verse, and actually just a part of that verse has caught my heart and my mind, and I'm going to be sharing a message that, well, the Lord has laid upon my heart, and there might be some questions about it in a lot of people's mind, but I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my best to set forth the Word of God, this subject in light of the Word of God, so that you and I might be blessed and that God might be glorified. I again appreciate the privilege of being invited into your heart today. Deb's got a song tuned up and ready for us to go. The title of it is Standing in the Light, and oh, what a beautiful song that it is. If you want any of the projects that she has done or the programs now that we have produced, you just write us and let us know. Her son will be back the end of the program to give you our mailing address, either snail mail or email. But Debbie's got this song tuned up. The title of it is Standing in the Light. When she gets done with her singing, I'll be back ready to start my preaching. I know you will enjoy it. Here it is again, Standing in the Light.
Standing in the shadows of night, found rest for my weary soul. Since Jesus saved me, a new life He gave me, now I'm standing in the light of His love. Do you remember when you were born? Just like the rest, I doubt it. Shadows of night. Since Jesus saved me, a new life He gave me. Now I'm standing in the light of His love. In His word says you must be born again. You must be born from above. So if you gave your heart to Jesus, you're no longer standing in the shadows of night.
The light of His love. Since Jesus said,
thank you, Bubba. I tell you, I love that song, and I love the singer and the writer of that song, My Beloved. What a wonderful job. Where are you standing, friend? Where are you standing? Are you in the darkness? Are you in the light? Are you still dead in your trespasses and sin? Or have you been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? And that's what this message in many ways is all about. I hope that it comes more clear as we make our way through it. In the book of John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 24, the Word of God says, and I love this verse. I believe this verse is just as important as any verse there is in the entire Word of God. I believe that it encourages. I believe that it teaches. I believe that it gives the expectation to a believer in Christ of the assurance of their salvation. And listen now, the words of Jesus. So I know I'm breaking in to some of the great teaching that He's doing. Tremendous, tremendous truths are built in this chapter. Great and tremendous truths. Listen to what Jesus said as the Holy Spirit has directed me to this in verse 24 of chapter 5 of John's Gospel. Jesus said, verily, verily, and He does that in this Gospel of John, about 20, 22 times maybe. Boy, He's putting an emphasis here. He's saying, listen, listen intently. Listen now, listen closely. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me, now watch the rest of this verse, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Now everybody, now watch this, everybody that is a believer in Christ, everybody that understands what it means to be saved, ought to say glory, hallelujah. I'm telling you, if there was no other verse of Scripture in the entire Word of God that would give assurance to a believer of a present possession of eternal life, I'll tell you what, listen, if this would be the only one that we would need. But there are more than this one. This is just the one that the Spirit of God has led me to consider for this little message today. So here's what I want to talk about for a little while. I want to talk about Christian liberty is not license. Now you say, preacher, I have no idea what are you talking about. Well, I hope to make that clear. There's a lot of misunderstanding. There's a lot of misunderstanding in our day, and I'm supposing there always has been, about the liberty we have as believers in Christ Jesus. Listen, friend, being free in Christ gives us the privilege to serve Christ, knowing that, as Paul said in Philippians 1 and 6, we are accepted in the Beloved. But, now watch this, this word but, on the other hand, being free in Christ does not give us the liberty to live any old way that we please. It does not, let me emphasize that again, it does not give us the liberty to do anything we choose to do. We are free in Christ. We are present possessors. If I understand what John 5 and 24 says, we are present possessors of eternal life. It means that, friend, we have been brought out of darkness. We have passed from death and we have been given life, and we have been given eternal life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I grew up early in my youth and in my childhood and in my early Christian life, because I didn't know what the Word of God said, constantly living under the question, am I saved or not? I had bowed my knee at the altar. I had confessed my sin. And as well as I could, as I repented, I received Christ as my Savior. But I was taught for years before I began to let the Word of God speak, instead of man speaking, I had questions. Well, if I die, would I go to heaven? Listen to what the Word of God says again. He said, look, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word, believeth on Him that sent Me, hath everlasting life shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, there's a lot of gross misunderstanding about the Bible in a lot of terms. You know what I mean? But I'm going to tell you what. Look, friend, I'm not worried about what man says. I want us to get about what God says about a believer and his or her position in Christ Jesus and his or her possession in knowing Christ Jesus as their only Savior. I don't know whether you listened to or have listened to a man by the name of J. Vernon McGee, but I have adopted one of his sayings. J. Vernon McGee said, listen, I want you to know something. I believe in the security of the believer, but I also believe in the insecurity of the make-believer. Man may and does as he pleases, but I'm going to tell you what, friend. He cannot blame God and get away with it. Do you hear me? He can't blame God for what he does. He can't use God and his word, friend, to put a hand of approval upon what man does. Now look, the Bible, I believe, is very clear on its position on the subject of sin and the believer. Sin and the believer. You say, preacher, those are oxymoron terms. They shouldn't even be coming together in a sentence. Well, the Word of God deals with them together, and so am I. I'm turning really quick to the book of 1 John, chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading when I find it at verse 8, and I'm going to continue on down to verse 2 of chapter 2. John said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. Notice the difference there. John said, if we say we have no sin, and then he says, if we confess our sins. You see, we have sins because we have a sin nature. That's what John is saying. John in verse 8 is referring to the sin nature that is resident in all of us, even those of us that have a new nature resident in us, that are saved and on our way to heaven. We have two natures in us, and depending on which one we yield to will depend on what kind of behavior we produce. But John goes on to say, if we confess our sins, He, speaking of God, is faithful when we are not and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. His word is not in us. Little children, he goes on to say, these things I write unto you. Now watch what John says, that ye sin not. John's not saying, now listen, I'm going to write this to give you license to sin. I'm not writing this to give you liberty to sin. I'm writing this dealing with a very true fact in my life and in your life and all of our lives as believers. We will sin, and God has made provision for our sin. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is propitiated for our sin, not for ours only, sins of all the world. You say, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you, friend, listen, that Christians on occasion will sin. And the Word of God, in a very real way, deals with the real issue of sin in the life of a believer. A believer can sin, but I'm going to tell you what, they won't enjoy it very much. I believe Charles Spurgeon was the one who said what I'm going to say. I believe he said, a sinner cannot, or a Christian cannot sin successfully. I believe the Bible teaches this in clear terms, in repetitive terms, friend. I believe the Bible's position and God's understanding of sin in a believer's life is made very clear throughout the Word of God. But I'll tell you something else is made clear. Our present position, our present possession in Christ Jesus is also made clear. Do you all know that Paul, the apostle in the 14 epistles that he wrote, used a phrase in some manner or another, in Christ, at least 130 times? Is not that something? And listen to what Paul or Jesus said in John 5 and 24 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Isn't that something? We have passed from death unto life. You say, preacher, hold on. Will you hold on? I'm not done preaching. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you say, preacher, if I've got that everlasting life, then I'm free to do as I please. No, you're not. No, you're not. If you take that attitude, if you take that kind of theology and ideology, you're in big trouble out of the starting gate. And I'm going to be honest with you, I have many questions about your salvation. You may have a profession, but bless God, what we need is a possession. Romans 8:1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And there is the key to this thing. You say, preacher, who is and who isn't? I don't know, but God does know. And all I need to do is to take care of myself. Now, there's a lot of other scriptures that could be given that plainly states what the present position of a believer is, and that is in Christ Jesus. And where the problem comes in this, a lot of people think that they understand what it means to be in Christ. They think they've got their theology right about the justification that God gives us. But you know what? They forget about another Bible doctrine that is as great as justification, but that's overlooked too much in our day and in our age, I'm telling you. And it is sanctification. Sanctification. You know what? The Bible never, listen to me, the Bible never allows a believer, a person in Jesus Christ, a license to sin. You say, preacher, what do you mean about license? Well, license is defined by Webster as excessive, undisciplined freedom constituting an abuse of liberty. And friend, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that do not understand the grace of God. Do you know that? Don't take my word about it. Take God's word. I don't have time to even just glance at many of the scriptures that the Word of God has recorded in it. And I know there are extremists. There are extremists, friend, on every problem that any man could ever discuss. Extremists are common problems anywhere. People who either take too much liberty or those that try to become legalistic instead of realistic. But listen now, listen to what the clear, plain teachings of the Word of God says. Now, I don't know who this message is going to. I hope it's clear. I really do. But I'm going to tell you some things, friend. The Word of God is clear about the relationship of a believer in relation to sin. Listen to what Gabriel said to Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, in Matthew 1:21. He said, you'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not in them. Now look, we don't get saved so we can sin all we want. We get saved so that we can please God. Listen to what Paul was writing. Now, Paul had brought the Roman believers up to this great point of chapter 6. And he had done a remarkable job in proving that all mankind were sinners. Done a remarkable job setting forth the justification that comes by faith in the finished work of Christ Jesus upon all that believe in Christ. But he also anticipates what are they going to say now, knowing that they're justified, knowing that they have a position in Christ. What are they going to say now? Paul anticipates their questions. And when he begins to delve his pen into the ink barrel and write on the parchment about a personal sanctification, he starts with this great question. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now listen to this. God forbid, Paul said. Perish the thought is exactly what that word means. It's self-explanatory. It's a statement that even I can understand, friend. Look, there needs to be no exposition on that. But let me give you something very clearly. Because that I have a new relationship with Christ, I also, as a believer in Christ, have a new relationship with sin. In fact, if you read on into this sixth chapter of the book of Romans, you'll find that when Christ died, I died. Hey, friend, there is a change in my life. There ought to be a change in your life. You say, preacher, are you sinless? No. Boy, wish I was. One day I will be. But I'll tell you what, I sin less than I ever did. Thank God, thank God. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 and following. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. That's a past working of grace that took place at Calvary, where Christ, which was grace personified, died for the sin of the believer. But now, he said, it's got a present work, teaching us, now watch this, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know what? If our life isn't matching up to this, there's something wrong with our life. Listen, friend, people today are crazy because they're ignorant of what the Word of God says. They try to give people who profess to be Christians liberties that the Word of God does not allow them, that the Spirit of God does not offer them. I'm telling you, God's ideal for the believer is holiness, is separation, is sobriety, is cleanliness, is holiness, is godliness, is... Hey, do I need to go on? Do I really need... I mean, good common sense tells you, friend, that we should live holy and righteously and godly and soberly in this wicked world that we live in. And I'm telling you, what will do it is looking for that blessed hope and the glory superior of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know why people aren't living like they ought to? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but I'm going to give you the one that's right here before us. They're not looking for Jesus to come. They don't understand much about the cross of Calvary and the way God Almighty looks at sin. I believe the writer said, I'll just turn to it really quickly if I can, in the book of Psalms. It's chapter 18, chapter 19, verse 12. Who can understand His errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. If we profess to know Christ, if we claim to know Him, if we get around to see what sin looks like in the eyes of God, you know what? We'd sure do differently about our sin. Do you hear me? Oh, look, I wish I had time to develop this more. I really do. But let me give you a couple other things to think about. Luke chapter 15, I call it the lost and found chapter. You say, why, preacher? Because in that chapter, we find a man that's looking for one of his sheep, one out of 100. We find a woman looking for a coin, one out of 10. And we find a father looking for a son, one out of 2. Isn't that amazing? Do y'all know what? When these things were misplaced, when the sheep was away from the fold, when the coin was away from the necklace or the bracelet or the head garment, whatever the case may have been, or when the boy was away from home, the sheep was a sheep, the coin was a coin, the boy was a boy. Isn't that amazing? That's exactly what the Word of God. A woman was looking for a coin, a shepherd looking for a sheep, and the daddy looking for the son to return. I'm not saying believers do not sin. I'm telling you they do. But listen, friend, they can't do it successfully. They can't do it habitually. They cannot do it to make it a habit of life. 1 John 3:6, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth or makes sin a lifestyle practice or a habit hath not seen Him, meaning God, neither known Him. Listen to what Peter said. 2 Peter 3, I'd like to begin at verse 20 and following, but in verse 22 it says, it's happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dogs have turned again to his vomit, and the sow that was washed to the wallowing of the mire. You know what? A dog is a dog is a dog. You know why a dog does what a dog does? Because it's got a dog nature. A pig is a pig is a pig. You know why a pig does what a pig does? It's because it has a pig nature. I've wanted today, and I don't know that I've succeeded. You'll have to decide and let me know. I've wanted to talk about Christian liberty is not licensed to sin. I've been set free to serve Christ, and thank God for that in an acceptable manner because I'm accepted in the Beloved. Thank God, but I'm not set free to sin. And if you take that idea and that life attitude and you're living that lifestyle, friend, I believe you need to visit Calvary. I know you need to visit the Word of God. Well, hope the message has been a blessing to you. Hope it's provoked you. And I know this message has provoked a lot of things, but I hope it's provoked you to get closer to God and further away from sin. Thanks for listening. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours. And you are